I know you guys were expecting Reverend Maggie this morning, and she is still in Florida with her dad, who is recovering from a sudden illness. So here I am, and hope that's okay. Do you remember last week? Well, first of all, I want to say, and no. If in case you didn't get that answer, you're not the only one who's uncertain about what our purpose is. And you know, most of us grew up, unless you're, you know, the generation after me or after that, most of us grew up with an idea from generations before us that our purpose is what we do. You know, that we were supposed to do a thing, that we had certain skills or we had certain strengths that were academic as we were going through school. There were things that we liked when we were kids, and we should go do that thing. And, you know, if I had pursued it that way, I probably would have tried to be a veterinarian. I mean, I know so many kids who wanted to be vets because they love animals, right? But I was no good at, like, chemistry. And to get a DVM, kind of have to be good at chemistry to get through school. So that wasn't going to be the thing that I was going to do. But we go through these little chunks of our lives where we're in our 20s and we're exploring and we're making our way in our profession that we've chosen. And then we get into our 30s, and I'm being very general here, but we get into our 30s, and that's when we're providing for our families, providing for ourselves, working our way up the ladder, going, do I really want to do this? Or do I want to do something else? And then we get into our 40s and 50s and 60s and we retire, and then what is our purpose if we're not doing a thing? Last week I talked to you about God being a hypothetical concept. You remember that? Which is kind of borders on the very, very uncertain and certainly not something you expect to hear in church. But God being more of the unifying presence, the creative thing of the universe. And I was talking last night with one of my sons, and we were talking about that element, creative, being an important thing for us to remember, that the creativity that is demonstrated by the entire universe around us is evidence of a supreme presence, if you will. That which we see is the God that we're seeking, but it's also the God we don't see. And if I'm talking in riddles, it's because it is kind of a riddle, isn't it? But we see stars being born, we see stars collapsing, we see the evidence of the seasons, we see things that grow and mature and then die, and then something new is born. So we see this creative energy, and we are part of that too. We are that creativity. We are the interconnectedness of the entire universe. We're that. And so our purpose becomes something that is more tapping into the elements of the stars, the elements of creativity, the elements of life continuing to unfold. We are that. And as we tap into that more, then being is the thing that influences our doing. And I think that people are getting smarter about it. I see younger people being more involved in who they are than I know I was at that age. Because I was about the do, not the be. And so, you know, I did bounce from career to career. I started out working for the federal government. I did well there until I didn't like it anymore. And then I thought, oh, I'll go back into academics. I'll do that. I'll get a master's. Oh, and I'll teach while I'm doing that. And then I found Unity, and it was like, oh, no. Well, I mean, not, oh, no, I found Unity, but I found Unity, and it inspired a different part of my being that became the doing of being a minister. And surprise to me, it's now been a 30-year span of my life, which I can hardly believe. And that's unusual for somebody who's considered herself a hummingbird. Looking at the being interested in this and that and this and that. Now, had I listened to what I thought I was supposed to be doing, I wouldn't be standing here today because I thought I wasn't supposed to be going back into pulpit ministry for 10 years. For 10 years. Nope, not going back into pulpit ministry. And if you remember my story here, my history with Unity of Wimberley, I was guest speaking throughout the last quarter of 2017. Oh, it's so nice to be back in Wimberley. I love these folks. This is so good. We're looking for a minister. Do you want to be a minister here? No. Thank you. That's okay. I'm not going back into pulpit ministry. I came back again. Are you sure you don't want to be our minister? Thanks. I'm very flattered. But no. Until sometime in December of 2017. And I left here and crying. I was like, oh, I'm going to have to do this. I love these people. And that's what surprises us about the creativity of divine energy, is that regardless of my reservations, my conviction, my thought about the course of my life, I'm supposed to be here. And so I said yes to that. And it's been one of the most incredible, enriching, indescribable passages of my life. So there's a listening in us that comes with the gift of divine discernment so that we know what is next in our purpose. And again, I grew up with the idea that you find your purpose in life, you do that thing. One and done. Oh, this is my life purpose. I shall do this. And that's not what it's about. There's a life purpose, and then there's another life purpose, and then there's another life purpose, and then there's another life purpose. And just as Anne read this morning, the life purposes that are given to you are unique to you. And only you. Only you can fulfill this exactly the way it was intended. Only you. And coming from a culture of religiosity that says that we're not supposed to be proud, that we're not supposed to put ourselves out there, that we're supposed to be humble and meek, there is a mature spirituality that it encourages us. It demands that. We embrace exactly the beauty of ourselves and our purpose as people of God. How else shall God be visible in the world besides the natural world, which we're also a part of? Each one of us is bringing a gift, and we are admonished not to hide it. Don't hide it. Because hiding it hurts us and it hurts the world. It takes a lot of energy to suppress God. But boy, we try, don't we? We try. We say, no. I'm not gifted enough. I'm not courageous enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. And yeah, all of our early conditioning kind of creeps up behind us and goes, psst. You're a child of God, but just kind of stay back here on the back row. No offense to y'all back there. I'm just going to hide out over here and hope that I don't have to do what it is I think I'm being called to do. Because see, I'm looking out here amongst you, and I've seen some of those shifts in your purpose. Looking at you. I've seen those of you that have said, oh, I don't think I could ever serve on the board of a church. Uh-uh. laughs the former board president. But I've seen those passages. I see those of you that have shifted from whatever your purpose was before to being caregivers for people that you love. I'm one of those people. And our purpose is multifaceted. And it must remain fluid and flexible and dynamic for us, because that's what gets us through the days when it's difficult. Because there's going to be everything. Because when we're fulfilling our purpose, everything in us that is not aligned with that purpose is right up there for us to examine and deal with, right? So I'm here to say that we need each other in order to reflect our individual purposes back and forth to each other. Because sometimes it's easier for someone else to see our purpose than it is for us to see it ourselves. And that's why we can't live in a vacuum. That's why we need other people around us. That's why we need a community around us. At the degree of engagement that we are comfortable with and maybe a little uncomfortable with. We need that. And we need each other so that when we're working through those challenges, we have encouragement and support. And other people lend us their confidence and their faith in us. We need that. We need not only to receive it, we also need to give it. Because if there's one purpose that is universal, it is for us to love one another, isn't it? That is one universal purpose, and that has a lot of little tendrils that go out. This is, oh, I can love in this way, and I can love in this way, and I can love in this way. This is how love looks. And sometimes love is hard. Sometimes our purpose is not easy. But I want to share with you a reading that I found this week. Oh, yeah, I did see a thing this morning that says, we don't do this because it's easy. We do this because we thought it was going to be easy. Yeah. Anybody identify? Yeah. Oh, I didn't think it was going to be that. This is from Elia Kazan, the great actor, and it's called The Actor's Vow. I will take my rightful place on the stage and I will be myself. I am not a cosmic orphan. I have no reason to be timid. I will respond as I feel, awkwardly, vulgarly, but respond. I will have my throat open. I will have my heart open. I will be vulnerable. I may have anything or everything the world has to offer, but the thing I need most and want most is to be myself. I will admit rejection, admit pain, admit frustration, admit even pettiness, admit shame, admit outrage, admit anything and everything that happens to me. The best and most human parts of me are those that I have inhabited and hidden from the world. I will work on it. I will raise my voice. I will be heard. You don't have to be an actor in order to take on those words. An Actor's Vow by Kazan. Living our life purpose can be scary because it makes us get out there in the arena and do it. It makes us set ourselves up to fail sometimes, to look foolish, to allow our most base human self to come up every now and then and be stupid. It challenges our deepest insecurities. And I will repeat that along with all that comes the gift of courage and conviction and passion as is in the daily word today, to do that thing, to be that person, to live that purpose. We think sometimes that passion has to do with, oh, I love this. How many of you out there are in a difficult caregiver situation where you're going every day, oh, I love this? No. But there is something deeper than that kind of surface passion. There's a deeper passion that speaks to the very best of us. Our compassion, our selflessness, the gifts of our hands, the gifts of our voices, the gifts of our silence, the gift of our tough loving, all those things. And if you ever catch yourself in the execution of your life purpose, falling into a habit of apathy or laziness about it, or saying, oh, I've always done it that way, let that just be a signpost for you to take another look. Has this life purpose run its course and there's another one waiting for you? Or is it possible that there is an infusion of life and inspiration that is waiting for you if you'll just be still enough to hear it? That's the tricky one, isn't it? Taking that deep breath when we're exhausted. Being patient with ourselves when we're impatient. So this is like boot camp spirituality, my friends. This is the real stuff. There's one thing to just go out there and be a good person. And it may be that simple. It may be so simple that you can say, my life purpose is to be a good person. But I'm going to invite you to dig deeper. Because there's a whole lot of good people doing some not so good stuff out there. You know? We can't hide behind God. As I spoke about last week, we can't hide behind God as the thing we're putting out front to defend our actions. We should be having our actions inspired, not saying, I'm doing this because God told me to. And you're a jerk if you don't believe that. I've heard messages similar to that. It's never been any of us, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. Using God as a weapon. Using God to justify things that are not in the realm of spiritual qualities to and at other people. Don't be that person. Be the one who has a constant, eternal companionship with something greater than yourself. And you know, that's really all that's required of us. Ask anybody in a 12-step program. All that's required of us is to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. And that applies to atheists and agnostics. That could be your golden retriever. You know, who doesn't love a golden retriever? Who doesn't think that golden retrievers are just these happy, loving pups, you know, that are out there just saying, ho, 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 here we go. I think that's what golden retrievers are doing. I don't know. But, you know, if your higher power is all the qualities that your golden retriever exhibits, that's fine. But there is a deep dive that we can take into the mystery. And allow it to reveal to us things that we could have never dreamed. Never. Do you know, I've found a new, I'm going to call it a sub-purpose, is to get my body healthier. And so I've started Pilates, and now I kind of can't quit going. And, you know, I can touch my palms on the floor again with my legs straight. My hamstrings thought that their life purpose was finished. And then they went, oh, we're alive, we're awake, we can do this. And so, you know, that's a new part. But do you know, doing that has given me energy and clarity for the bigger things, you know, healthy body, healthy everything else. And that's for me right now. I love that. Because I can tell you that I have never been one for a scheduled, regimented exercise program. Poking needles in my eyes. You know, I would just forget it. And by all circumstances, here I am doing what I'm doing. And that's just a little example. It was very humbling to me, and I know you've heard this from me before, it was very humbling to me to discover at the age of 42, when I had twins, that maybe the reason I was born was not the reason that I thought for 42 years. It was very humbling to realize that part of my reason for being was so that two wonderful human beings could get here. Wow. 42 years. I had no idea of that knowledge. No idea. And it was like, oh, you might think you're a big deal, but let me just put it in a different context for you. Wow. I can tell you that what will happen as you're fulfilling your life purpose is that not only will you have your own internal doubts and fears and insecurities, you'll also, the more clearly you're expressing that divine purpose, you'll also be subjected to the slings and arrows of others. Yikes. See, you came here today for a good news talk, didn't you? But it's true. As you are fulfilling your life purpose, there will be those who do not resonate with your being aligned with your purpose. Do you know why that is? Because they haven't quite arrived at their alignment yet. And it's threatening to see other people do that. I mean, we've experienced that, haven't we? We see other people living in alignment and we go, well. Because we're all destined for that, and when we're not doing it, it makes us uncomfortable. And when we see other people doing it, we're wondering, what's wrong with us? So we project it onto them. You understand? Oh, we are such precious beings. I mean that in a most sincere sense. But also, we get a little precious about things, don't we? You know, like, bless our hearts, kind of precious. So when you see someone who's fulfilling their purpose and you feel that little bit of jealousy or distaste or threat, time to look inside. Time to look and see what it is that's next for you. But if you're the one that's receiving those projections, it's important to remind yourself that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You are being who you're supposed to be being. There's a lot of bees in there. And that what's going on, all this noise out here, is inconsequential. So I had a friend who reminded me of something I must have read sometime along the way that I'd forgotten about, from Teddy Roosevelt, who said, "It is not the critic who counts." And I'm going to change the language in this a little bit so that it's not all masculine, as was, you know, the language of Teddy Roosevelt's era. It is not the critic who counts, not the one who points out how the strong one stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the one who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends themselves in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if they should fail, at least fails while daring greatly, so that their place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. You know, there's a thing in Scripture in the New Testament that says, be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out. So which would you rather be? Would you rather be hot? Would you rather be on fire? Would you rather be in the arena, getting dusty and making mistakes? Or would you rather just hold yourself back in the cold for fear of making a mistake, for fear of people saying things you don't want to hear, for people poking at your insecurities, and never having a chance to know what it feels like to have your light shine? Because you know how good it feels when you're aligned, when you're in that flow, when you're doing that thing, when you have exceeded your endurance and you're keeping on. I guess hot, cold, juicy, dry, which would you choose? Passion, apathy. It's really not much of a choice, is it? I mean, really. And so even if your doing part of life has shifted, there is still a passionate purpose in you. There's still a passionate purpose. And sometimes it requires us to dance into it, to sing into it, to meditate into it, to garden our way into it, to do the thing that takes us out of ourselves so that our real selves can be revealed to us. Does that make sense to you? I went to a concert Thursday night. Haven't sent you the clip yet, you guys, you Finns. Swedish House Mafia, yes. And, yeah, I know, you went to Lyle Lovett. I went to Swedish House Mafia, and finally about three quarters of the way in, I did put in the earplugs. So what can I say? Had to do it. But for me, there's something about that kind of music for me. This is tech music, electronic dance music, lots of bass. And it feels like it's a cleanse for me. For me, just to have that vibration and the lights and the passion of people, just to immerse oneself in that. Wouldn't do it every day, wouldn't do it every week. But to go and do that, I left feeling buoyant, like a lot of the week and the tensions and the stress just got blown away. Literally, one time the bass was so good, I felt my hair lift on my head. I mean, I was feeling it here in my chest, but there was one point when they hit something and it was just like, it was great. And the Milwees can tell you, I like to drive probably a little faster than I should, still, since I was 16. That's not my purpose in life, but find what gives your life some juice, safely. Find the thing that lights you up, that when you're doing it, you forget you're doing it. And when you come out of it, you're lighter. Even if you don't feel light when you're doing it, you come to the end of your day and you have a pleasing exhaustion. You know what I'm talking about. Where you're just going, I mean, even if it is, oh, thank God I can take off my shoes. I can just lay back now. Because you have been about the work of God in the world. Find that thing for you. And if you need a little refresher, if you need a little touch-up, if you need a little zhuzh to get your going again, talk with someone that knows you, that will say to you, this is what I see in you. Have you forgotten? This is who you are. Because I promise you, there are people around you who see you better than you see yourself. We all have that. So live your life with passion. Even if you get scars, even if you make mistakes, find that passionate purpose and live it. Because that's how, you know, last week we talked about gratitude, honoring God. Living our purpose honors God. Living our purpose is probably the highest way, because that comes from love, the highest way that we express during this lifetime. Okay, take a deep breath. And if there's a little part in you that's gone, I don't want to find my purpose. I'm done with purposes. I'm guessing probably not. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Your body would have found a way for you to exit. So let's take a moment and do just a little bit of exploration, just a little bit. If you close your eyes and your first thought is, I know what my life purpose is, I know what it is for right now, then good. Take this time to renew and refresh whatever that is. Draw energy from this quiet time. Draw energy from the people in this room and the people that are joining us to enrich you, to infuse you. And if, beloved, you are still seeking, what is my purpose today? Just for today, what is my purpose? You will know. And then tomorrow you can ask the question again. And the day after that you can ask the question until you have strung together a beautiful strand of golden beads that shows you the shining glory of that purpose. Do not stress and worry, beloved, that you have to make a choice today and do it forever. Make it just for today. Do not stress and worry, beloved, that you won't have what you need to be all that you are created to be, to do all that you were created to do. Because those tools and gifts are part of the whole package. And yes, beloved, even the things that hold you back, even those insecurities, those fears, they are gently brushed away by the metaphorical hand of God. And dear ones, will you make a vow to yourself today that you will honor your purpose, even when it's hard? Will you make a vow today that you will honor others in theirs? For surely, as we reflect against and off of each other, the light shines a little brighter between us. So know that the living spirit is now revealing to you that which needs to be revealed, and healing that which needs to be healed, and all is well. All is well. So lightly touch your tender heart, your courageous heart, your willing heart. And breathe. Just breathe again. And be at peace. For all is well. All is well, and all is well. And so it is. Amen. I love when he does that.